Prime Day is coming July 11th and 12th with 2 days of epic deals exclusively for Prime members. You'll feel like a winner.
Behind door number three is amazing deals!
Deals from electronics to decor. It's on Prime Day.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Pop Culture University, the university where you learn everything that is going on in the whole beautiful, dazzling world of pop culture and see what life lessons you can get from it for your own lives. Educational, inspirational, cuntocational. What can make it better? Oh, yeah, having the sexiest podcast host in North America. Patty Emminger, you may know me as Patty Pop Culture from TikTok. If it is your first time here, thank you so much for coming to the podcast. You're a new student. Everyone is so welcome here, including the furries, especially the furries. If it is not your first time here, thank you so much for coming back. I love you. I stan you. I'm in your fandom. I hope you all had an amazing weekend. My weekend was quite uneventful. I feel like it was actually so boring that at one point, I completely lost track of time because it was all just melding together. Does that ever happen to you? I can't go to the gym right now because my leg kind of hurts. My arm kind of hurts. I'm basically Frankenstein. So I'm kind of just in my house all day. And that makes all the days feel like one. So yesterday on Sunday, I actually thought that it was Monday all day. I don't know if I just thought we leaped forward a whole day. But I actually started preparing today's podcast episode almost on Sunday because I fully was convinced that it was Monday. So that just goes to show how boring my weekend was. I hope you guys had a fun, eventful, or I don't know, sometimes boring is a good thing because you don't want any horrible events to happen. So if nothing happened, at least nothing terrible happened. But there's been a lot of crazy, terrible, I think, things happening in pop culture that we must talk about. We're talking about Kanye making his comeback, saying something about Jewish people again. Selena Gomez having a new boyfriend who I already talked about before and I called it, I was right. And Selena literally mentioning Hailey Bieber on her Instagram story, Hailey mentioning Selena, them patching the whole thing up. And if I think this war is actually over or what will happen next, I want to talk about another man from Selena Gomez's past who majorly exposed her this weekend. And I'm talking about majorly exposed her. She's in hot water again. And then we're going to end the podcast with Harry Styles' new girlfriend and why she is now getting so much hate. But remember last episode, class, when I said that I wanted to start giving out superlatives at the end of every class? Well, I'm going to do that now. And I've decided what superlatives I'm going to give out at the end of today's session to the celebrities that we talk about. So we're going to give out the secret villain superlative, the unproblematic pageant queen superlative, the messy bitch that lives for the drama superlative, and the most likely to be canceled next superlative. All of those will be awarded to a lucky or unlucky celebrity recipient at the end of today's podcast episode. But before we get into it, make sure you rate this podcast 5-star on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, leave a cute little review, screenshot yourself listening to it, post it to your Instagram story and tag me. I'll post it on my story and I will hit you up and we can be besties. And without further ado, class, take your seats, eyes on the front. Classes in session, Pop Culture University starts now. So I do want to tell you guys there was one eventful part of my weekend, and me and bars do not mix. I usually end up getting in some kind of trouble, getting in some kind of fight, causing some sort of scene as if I'm on the Jersey Shore. But this weekend, I actually did not get kicked out of the bar on Friday. That's the only day I went out. That was really my only eventful night. But there was a very, very, very close call of myself getting kicked out. And that is because me and a group of friends went, and I was with this one of my friends who's so unhinged and kind of one of those people that you just look at them and you think, did a tornado just hit you? Are you the Tasmanian devil? They look so like they've just been through it at all times. The friend that something crazy is always going on with them, when you FaceTime them, they're like, hold on, my mom just got hit by a car and we're rushing her to the ambulance. Things like that. I did not even see this man take as many drinks as he did, but someone bought a group of us drinks. And before he even finishes half the drink, he runs across the bar to throw it up in a trash can. And me being the good person that I am, go to help him, be like, hey, that was out of nowhere. Are you okay? Did you just throw up? And the worker is already on his ass, like pulling his shirt from behind as if he's a dog that someone is like holding by their back neck fat. And she's like, he has to be kicked out. Then she points at me and she's like, are you his friend? And I'm like, oh shit, here I go. I'm getting kicked out again. And I'm like, yes. And she's like, okay, make sure he has his things. He's leaving and you can stay, but he has to go. So I didn't get escorted off the premises this weekend. I was so proud of myself. We did leave him in the rain for a bit because we wanted to finish our drinks that he just threw up. And that was his problem. Another gag that happened to me this weekend is someone comes up to me at this bar and they go, oh my God, are you Sugar or Spice from RuPaul's Drag Race? Like the drag queens, Sugar or Spice. I don't know if you guys watch that show, but they're basically these two white twink identical twins who are the first ever identical twins on Drag Race. They're like kind of so annoying and extra and blabbermouths. Really just your quintessential Chihuahua-esque twink. They're also quite famous on TikTok. They have like 8 million followers. And I've always thought I look like them a little bit, but I never wanted to say that out loud to have people think I'm over complimenting myself. But a woman came up to me and she said, are you Sugar or Spice? And I was like, no, I wish. I'm like 40 pounds heavier than them, but I would love to be them. I should have just lied and let her like take selfies with me or something. That would be hilarious. I guess what they say is true. All twinks look alike. Can't deny it there. Proof is in the pudding. Anyway, the first horrible story we have to get to today, class, is that Kanye West is back, unfortunately. It's like when your STD is back, your visible herpes is back. It's a sore that no one wants to see, but no one can also look away from and have to be very cautious of before it attacks your immune system. This time, Kanye seems to be back with friendly, welcoming arms to all. He's not living in the 1940s anymore. Apparently, he likes Jewish people. And guess how he told the world that he likes Jewish people again after the whole debacle of the last few months. He said that Jonah Hill, who is a Jewish man, Hill is his stage name. His real last name is Feldstein or something, a pretty Jewish last name. Jonah Hill is the Jewish man that convinced Kanye West to like Jewish people again. Interesting. Jonah Hill woke up that morning and he was like, oh shit, what did I do? Waking up and seeing your name trending next to Kanye West must be the number one fear in all celebrities' hearts, because you never know who he's about to aim the bow and arrow at next, who will be Kanye's prey next. So Jonah Hill probably woke up and he was like, oh shit, here we go again. But this is what Kanye posted. Quote, watching Jonah Hill in 21 Jump Street made me like Jewish people again. No one should take anger against one or two individuals and transform that into hatred towards millions of innocent people. No Christian can be labeled anti-Semitic knowing Jesus is Jew. Thank you, Jonah Hill. I love you. Bro, what the fuck? When I saw that, I couldn't even laugh. Yes, I thought it was a little funny, but I couldn't even laugh. I was more so just annoyed as hell. Because why the fuck did it take Kanye West so long to see the common sense that has always been in this situation that he caused? He's always been mad at a few Jewish business people who have wronged him in the music industry. And he took that out on all Jewish people, saying he's going to go DEFCON 3 on them. The whole time, everyone was just saying, hey, Kanye, those were just a few Jewish people. You don't have to hate everyone and spread more anti-Semitism more than it has already been spread this year. You're really going to cause a lot of harm and people could die because of this. And he said, nah, I don't give a fuck. You think I give a fuck? Because I don't. He kept going and kept going, saying things like, quote, I am a Nazi. I love Hitler. It just makes me question if he ever really did hate Jewish people, or if he was just doing this because, like, he couldn't contain the insatiable insanity inside him and he just wanted a crazy media storm and self-sabotage his whole life and be the Joker for a minute. I don't know. That's why it just pissed me off so much, because the way he simply put it, like, he said the one sentence that everyone wanted him to say: no one should take anger against one or two individuals and transform that into hatred towards millions of innocent people. That was the common sense bottom line that everyone was like, hey, Kanye, can't you just see this? We all wanted him to say that the whole time. And him so easily seeing it after just watching 21 Jump Street. So Jonah Hill's performance in 21 Jump Street made you, what, take off your swastika, take down your framed picture of Hitler above your front door, made you let the boy in the striped pajamas live in peace? Like, you couldn't even come up with a fake news satire that sounded more ridiculous. And I just think the way that he oversimplified it and reduced his somewhat apology to 21 Jump Street is really, really insulting. He's masking giving a real apology to a lot of Jewish people by using humor to downplay what he did and then sneak in what seems like an indirect apology and remorse. Because if he really gave a real apology, his ego would be hurt. So he doesn't want to do that. So he needs to sneak in some indirect apology and remorse via humor and 21 Jump Street. And what does Jonah Hill even do in 21 Jump Street that would like warrant not hating Jewish people? Like, that movie isn't about being Jewish at all. It's probably not even mentioned. I'm pretty sure in that movie he gets stabbed while in a college frat fight and then gets up and yells, "That's awesome," when he sees he gets stabbed, and like gets hit by a car and shits his pants. I truly think that's what happens in that film. So, like, what about that was screaming, "Let's go celebrate Hanukkah and hold hands and sing a song"? I just don't think we should let him brush this off. I don't want to brush it off. We need more of an apology from you, Kanye, for sure, after everything you did. Maybe he wants his life back. He realized, maybe I self-sabotaged too much. I anti-girl bossed too close to the sun this time. Maybe he wants his $2 billion deal with Adidas back. And Adidas has also been hurting recently without Kanye. So I wonder if Adidas was like, hey, can you just give a lackluster, stupid apology online so we can hire you again, so we can make more money? Beyonce also just left her Adidas deal. So I bet you Adidas is really, really trying to rake it up right now. Any means necessary. And the lowest of the low is hiring Kanye back. That might even ruin their whole empire. Kanye would need to go on like a literal apology tour in every capital of every single state before I think it would be acceptable for Adidas to hire him back. So Jonah Hill, you were lovely in 21 Jump Street, but not that lovely. I'm sorry. On the other end of the spectrum, we have Kanye West arch nemesis Taylor Swift. And I want to include this in today's episode because Taylor did something really cool today that I think we can all learn from some words that she said. So while Kanye's life continues to go downhill because Taylor sent her boyfriend Karma after him, Karma tracked Kanye down step by step from town to town. And as a Swiftie, I just always need to bring up that his life is ruined completely, from his family to his happiness, to his stability, to his money. And Taylor Swift's life has never been better, from her family to her happiness, to her relationship, to her money, to her career, to her friends, to her press. It's never been better. So I love just comparing the two worlds right now, especially that Kim's Kardashian's career's really in the hot seat and potentially going down the gutter too. It fills me with warm fuzzies inside seeing the dichotomy of it all. And something that I think we can learn from is Taylor's amazing speech today at the iHeartRadio Music Award. She was given the Innovator Award, and that she is. And anyone who says she isn't an innovator can fight me, can suck my ass. In her speech, she talked about the concept of being an innovator and what it means to innovate. Innovate means basically make up something totally new with your creativity and your clever thinking. Totally never been done before. Innovating. And she talked about what it means to innovate and how it's not the easiest thing to do. And I've definitely experienced this, where I want to do something new that maybe my friends have never done, my family has never done, such as a social media career. Why did I say social? A social media career, or just so many other things, from outfits to clothes we wear to songs we like to things we post, careers we try, anything. She said, in order to innovate, sometimes you need to embarrass yourself to find the good idea. You need to sort through 500 bad ideas that no one has ever done to find the one good idea that you can strike gold and inspire people and truly be looked at as someone who is, wow, like so creative. They really came up with that. They innovated that. And I really love that message. So I want to play it for all of y'all. And that's what we can learn from this little segment, even though it has nothing to do from Kanye. Anything that Kanye does, just take notes on what not to do.
But what I did do was try to make the right decision for me at the time, whether or not it had ever been successfully done before. And I think maybe that might be the key, because oftentimes in any industry, people are looking for a precedent or, you know, data that shows this idea is a good one or a feasible one. People want an example of something working before. But I think the coolest ideas or moves or choices are the new ones, the ones that set a new precedent. Really want everyone to know, especially young people, that the hundreds or thousands of dumb ideas that I've had are what led me to my good ideas. You have to give yourself permission to fail. I try as hard as I can not to fail because it's embarrassing, but I do give myself permission to, and you should too. So go easy on yourselves and just make the right choices that feel right for you. And someday someone might think that you've been innovative.
It is a joyous day, everyone, as the modern day Treaty of Versailles has been signed. War is over. War is over. Your husband can finally come back from war because war is over between Selena Gomez and Hailey Bieber, apparently. So something I thought I would never bestow my eyes upon in real life is seeing the words Hailey Bieber on Selena Gomez's Instagram story. But that actually mother effing happened. And when this happened, it was 6 a.m. and I was trying to sleep or like go back to bed, but I just couldn't. And thank God I didn't, because I see it get posted and I immediately have to make a video about it because I was so fucking shocked. So out of nowhere, Selena Gomez broke her silence on the situation and just said this. Hailey Bieber reached out to me and let me know that she has been receiving death threats and such hateful negativity. This isn't what I stand for. No one should have to experience hate or bullying. I've always advocated for kindness and really want all this to stop. And with that, Selena called off her troops that I think she did deploy to attack Hailey Bieber. We know how I feel about this. I love Selena Gomez. But in this situation, I am going to call her out because I think she instigated a lot of this, and she has a really crazy history of instigating drama with every woman that Justin Bieber has ever been with. I talked about that in a past podcast episode. Go check it out. But thank God Selena said something when she did. Thank God. Just because of the inexcusable amount of actual, terrible, vile bullying that Hailey Bieber has seen, I don't know what that would do to someone's mental health, having the most followed woman on Instagram not only using her fans to bully you, but then getting Taylor Swift's fans to bully you by commenting on a very calculated TikTok. I'm not sure what that would do to someone's mental health, like Hailey Bieber. And no, I'm not saying I love Hailey Bieber. I'm not saying I'm Team Hailey. I'm just saying it went way too far. So thank God Selena posted when she did. Hailey Bieber in the past has said that Selena Gomez fans bullying her has almost pushed her to the point of wanting to kill herself, literally end her own life. She said that on the Call Her Daddy podcast. So all I can say is thank you, Selena, for actually posting. I did see this coming because of Selena's comment on one of her own TikToks the other week when she said, please, please be kinder and consider other people's mental health. Literally, Selena, literally. My heart has been heavy and I only want good for everyone. All my love. I could tell she was feeling really bad, and she's not saying that from a clear conscience, and I can tell. Because she's trying to frame it as if like she has nothing to do with all this, but going out of her way to say, please stop. I can tell in that message that she feels slightly responsible. And I saw this post coming kind of, because it's just a part of the cycle with Selena. She instigates drama, then says she wants all her fans to stop, instigates it again, wants her fans to stop, does it again, wants her fans to stop. This time, though, she actually followed Hailey Bieber as well. Are they friends now? Are they besties? Are they scissor sisters? This kind of confirms that it wasn't just a means to ask Selena's fans to stop. It's truly a treaty between the two of them, and hopefully it will never happen again. Just like we thought it would never happen again last year, and then Selena decided to do it again. Hopefully it just never happens again this time. I did think the beginning of her apology was a little funny. Because, or not apology, but her post was funny because she said, Hailey Bieber reached out to me. Like, she had to start it like that. She's like, I don't want to post about this, and I want y'all to keep going, but Hailey Bieber reached out to me, so if I don't do it this time, I would be a bad person. So she was like, fine, I'll say something. And then the Selena fans online were going out of their way to make Selena look like the righteous, amazing person, as they always do. I respect y'all, Selenators, for how much you love her. I love her too, just not in this situation. They were saying things like, Selena always takes the high road. She's always the bigger person. She always puts out the fire. Girl, she starts the fire. She loves to commit arson. She's an arsonist. It's just interesting to me that Selena didn't see any of the threats against Hailey, but yet she saw a very niche TikTok of Hailey from 2016 on her TikTok timeline. Like, girl, you saw those threats. You just didn't care, but now you have to say something because Hailey asked you to. Why didn't Justin say anything? That's what everyone was saying online. People were like, LOL, Hailey's so desperate. She has to reach out to Selena so she doesn't have to get bullied anymore because her husband won't even speak up for her. LOL, her husband hates her. Again, the wild narrative that Justin hates Hailey even though he's married to her. In Justin's defense, he said that the last time he spoke out about this would be the last time. I forgot when that was. In like, I don't know, 2018 or something. But in this post, he said, this would be the last time I talk about this. I absolutely love and loved Selena. She'll always hold a special place in my heart. But I'm head over heels in love with my wife, and she is the absolute best thing that has ever happened to me. The fact that you want to spend your day dedicating yourself to hate someone else says a lot about you. That was the last thing he said about it, and going to remain the last thing he said about it. The only promise he's ever kept. He said, I promise this the last time I'm talking about it. So good for him for keeping that promise. And then Hailey Bieber posted, just adding to all the tea. This is really tea. She was probably real happy to stick it to the Selenators right here. She says, I want to thank Selena for speaking out. As her and I have been discussing the last few weeks on how to move past this ongoing narrative between her and I. Ooh, burn. Hailey Bieber just burned the Selenators because she let everyone know that behind the scenes, Selena Gomez was talking to her the whole time. And she kind of just debunked every rumor they were spreading about how much Selena hates her. So I love the subtle shade in there. As her and I have been discussing the last few weeks. Ooh, damn. It must have been really awkward and weird for them to have a conversation together after Selena Gomez commented on that TikTok of that girl calling Hailey Bieber like a trashy, stuck-up, gross nepotism baby or something. And Selena kind of co-signed the sentiment, so that must have been a really awkward conversation. Good thing they had it, though. Then Hailey continues, the last few weeks have been very hard for everyone involved, and millions of people are seeing so much hate around this, which is extremely harmful. While social media is an incredible way to connect and build community, moments like this only create extreme division instead of bringing people together. Things can always be taken out of context or construed differently than they were intended. We all need to be more thoughtful about what we post and what we say, including myself.
Damn! Damn, 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 damn!
That was a fucking bomb. That line. Things can be misconstrued or taken out of context differently than what they were intended. We all need to be more thoughtful about what we post and what we say, including myself. She says, none of these things that you thought we were shading each other, we're actually shading each other. Totally construed, totally taken out of context, but we can be more careful. So we give you not even the fucking option to be able to reach that far with these theories that you guys are making up. Also, I like how Hailey is not letting herself be the only one to blame here. Because when the world all tells you that you are the one to blame, you're the bad guy, it could be easy for you to start believing it and thinking that you're the only one that needs to be held responsible. So I love that she says we all need to be more thoughtful about what we post and what we say. Because Selena definitely did some not so out of context, pretty direct things about Hailey Bieber, like commenting on posts about her. Other ones, I think, were totally misconstrued and not actually shading Hailey Bieber. But I like that she was calling out everyone in the situation. Kendall, Kylie, Selena, herself. We all need to be more careful about what we post. She ended by saying, in the end, I believe love will always be bigger than hate and negativity. And there is always an opportunity to meet each other with more empathy and compassion. I agree. And I think she handled like the PR aspect of this all quite well. She didn't post anything to yell at anyone. She didn't say, fuck all you guys. She didn't lean into the mean girl character. She didn't do anything reckless on social media the whole time. She really held her composure. And that'd be really hard when you're getting bullied by the whole world. And all you want to do is like stick it to the person. You just want to say something online that will make them mad, make yourself look better and feel better. But she didn't feel the need to do that. It was just very calm and almost secretive the way she talked to Selena, handled things behind the scenes, maybe diffused anything behind the scenes, because she knew anything that is displayed publicly at this point will not help her. So I think it was really strategic and kind of smart of her to do that behind the scenes before she actually was like, okay, Selena, let's both go live with our post. Can you post yours 10 minutes earlier than mine? Then I'll post and we'll both be done. So shout out to Hailey's PR team. And Hailey followed Selena back after this. And Selena, she posted like a bikini photo today and Hailey liked it. So isn't that cute? That's like the ultimate sign of support, liking another girl's thirst trap. Love that. Now Justin's gonna like be like, Hailey, why'd you like Selena's photo? That's my girl, Selena. I'm kidding. Truly, I think this is just another round of the Selena show, the Selena cycle. Just another season of this mess. It's just going to keep happening until maybe one day the show will get canceled if she gets caught in her ways and she gets canceled. This will be the last time I'll say it, but I really do stand firm in the fact that I think she truly wanted to incite this downpour of hate onto Justin and Hailey because she still has some feelings towards Justin. But the only thing she wanted to do more than cancel them is to make sure she herself does not get canceled. And that's why she'll always patch it up in the end, always give her like line of, I always lead with kindness. Make sure to treat people with kindness. She'll always throw that line out there so she can cover up her tracks and not be held responsible. And it's interesting that she gave the whole situation enough time for Justin and Hailey to get their asses handed to them online and get pummeled a little bit before she really asked for it to stop. She was like, okay, they got their punishment. Now everyone can stop. It doesn't need to go anymore. And I think all of you guys deep down know that she is not 100% innocent, and that is fine. Okay? As I've said before, I love Selena, obsessed with her work, but this is her one fatal flaw that I will continue to call her out on, because if I don't care about people, I wouldn't even call them out. So I do care about her. So what can we learn from this? I think we can learn from everybody so quick to join on the bandwagon without really knowing anything that's happening or any real proof that we should be hating one person. I think what we can learn is that someone is not always who they're painted out to be. Sometimes other people want to cast narratives onto people, want to control other people's perception of them because they have some issue with them, they have some problem with them, and that is their way of dealing with it. So I would just encourage all of you guys forever to form your own opinions about a person, or form your opinion off of real proof about someone, not just hearsay, not just what their reputation is, not just what the cool kids are saying about them, but form your opinion on them based on real experience that you've had and your real own sense of judgment. Moving on, Selena Gomez is like the most famous person in the world right now, truly. No one is getting more PR than her. She could drop any song right now. She could drop an auto-tuned queef and it would go number one on the Billboard Hot 100 because she's getting that much PR. I bet you she's in the studio or doing something or planning some kind of drop. Her team really needs to capitalize on this. And they're not one to not capitalize. So I'm expecting a new Selena single. And honestly, I'm here for it. I like her music. I want to hear more. And adding to her PR is that she now has a new boyfriend. Ooh, new lover. She wants a lover. She wants a boyfriend. Tell me, are there any good ones left? I keep finding wrong ones, but I want love again and again. I want a boyfriend. And she's found a boyfriend, apparently. Maybe this new love interest will make her forget about Justin Bieber and be able to move on. And her new love interest is none other than ex One Direction member Zayn Malik. Can you believe it? Can you fucking believe it? I was actually talking about this a few podcast episodes ago, that there were rumblings of them talking or getting together. And Zayn is such an opportunist. I knew he's like a messy bitch who lives for the drama. I can just see a petty bitch through their eyes. And I can just tell, even though Zayn likes to stay out of the public eye, he loves a good fight. He loves a good mess. He totally left One Direction while everyone was at school on purpose. He said, let's all cause a scene with these girls in their classrooms right now. Because that is the kind of messy hoe I am. Why couldn't he just do it while you guys were sleeping to wake up to that news? He said, no, I want this to happen to them while they are in a silent Socratic seminar in English class. And they have to get up and leave immediately. I want to embarrass them. Zayn is an opportunist. Because I think when this whole drama was going down between Hailey and Selena, that is the first time Zayn followed Selena. And I bet you that's when they started talking. He was like, oh, Selena, do you need a shoulder to cry on? A sexy, gorgeous, bearded man's shoulder to cry on, Selena? Do you need that? He said, I'm available. So the two were seen out in New York together at a restaurant going on a date. A girl posted a TikTok about her experience. I think she was the hostess at the restaurant, and she led them to their table, all that shit, and they were kissing. Ooh! So T, they were both seen out and about in New York, not together, like there was no photos of them together, but separately. So this alleged date is very feasible. It really could have happened. A lot of Twitter accounts like Pop Crave and Pop Bass, you guys all know those accounts, are tweeting that they're officially dating now. I want to wait for People or E! News or even TMZ to comment on that if they're actually officially dating. But I would be so jealous if they actually were. Zayn Malik is the sexiest man besides Chris Hemsworth. Like, they're my number one and number two. I want Zayn Malik to literally kill me. I want him to, like, push a stake through my heart and push me into a dresser and call me a fucking Dutch slut like he did to Yolanda. And I would not press charges. I would say thank you. I want him to take out one of my kneecaps with an iron pipe. So I have no choice but to not even stand on my knee. Just be on my knees the whole time. Zayn Malik gets with the most gorgeous women in the whole planet. He has a kid with Gigi Hadid, who is undoubtedly one of the most beautiful women on the planet. And now Selena Gomez. That would be a toss-up for which baby would be the more genetically superior designer baby. Truly, I think those two kids could take over the whole world if Selena and Zayn were to have a baby together. Imagine the beautiful brown eyes that baby would have. I love brown eyes. Like, I'm obsessed with them. I have blue eyes, but I've always wanted brown eyes, so I'm like obsessed with people with brown eyes. And Zayn and Selena both have the most amazing brown eyes. So Zayn, I want you, but if happy is Selena, then I'm happy for you. If happy is her, I'm happy for you. And this is actually really cute for them. I'm glad they're getting their fairy tale ending teenage dream right now. Where the fuck is my teenage dream? But this is really cute for them because they both had a crush on each other when they were teenagers. There's old interviews of Selena Gomez being asked questions about One Direction. She would always say the one she would want to kiss is Zayn because she thinks that he's cute. And there's a really old tweet of Zayn in 2010. So God knows how old they were back then. Definitely still teenagers, but it's of Zayn just saying, hey, at Selena Gomez, smiley face. So this is like cute that this has blossomed into something more. And I'm dying to see where this relationship goes. I'm dying to see how it ends too. Because you know these two are toxic. You know they probably won't last. But I think Selena Gomez, her type is toxic, just like Justin was. So I think this will be good for her. Maybe she can be obsessed with a whole new man. And maybe Zayn can be obsessed with a whole new woman, because we know he's toxic as well. The Hadids, Gigi and Bella Hadid, must hate Selena, because now she's dated both of their, like, really famous exes, The Weeknd and Zayn Malik. How is Selena going to go into the Met Gala this year? She better walk on the carpet at different times, or we could get a Met Gala Monday Night Raw moment. Stabbing each other in the eye with $80,000 heels. It could be lovely. I'm kidding. I doubt they care. Oh, actually, there's a source that said Gigi doesn't care that they're dating. It says, as long as Zayn is happy and stable and continues to be a good co-parent to their daughter, Kai, she's fine with it. I love how she says happy and stable. Stable, because, you know, he could go off the rails sometimes. Not always stable. Not always held in the stable, that one. If Zayn can accept Gigi Hadid with Leonardo DiCaprio, I think Gigi can accept Zayn with Selena Gomez. Oh, it's such a shame that we don't talk anymore. So it seems like maybe Selena Gomez sucked all the venom out of her life and everything was okay again. But no. Just as the waters were seeming clear, one of her exes, Charlie Puth, decided to tweet, quote, "Attention is about what you think it's about." He's referring to his song, Attention. That is a massive hit song, multiple billions of streams. Couldn't not hear it on the radio for years after it was released in 2017. Now, I like this tweet because how he says, it's about what you think it's about. And the big rumor around that song was that it was about him and Selena Gomez. Now, I didn't really believe that at first either. I was thinking, eyebrow slit, falsetto boy, Charlie Puth. The one who posts the selfies of him pouring milk over himself and horrible angles of him in underwear? Him? With Selena? No way. He turns me off like a light switch. But if you think about it, they did have a hit song together. We Don't Talk Anymore. A lovely song. 1.5 million streams. And that can really bond people. And they performed it multiple times together and they had a lot of steamy chemistry, it seemed. And then they were seen hanging out a lot at the end of 2015 and the beginning of 2016 because the song was dropped at the beginning of 2016. So they were probably working on it, making it, being in contact, end of 2015. They were even seen at the Golden Globes after party together in January 2016. And then their song came out shortly after that. So there are a lot of rumors in the air. So that's what everyone thinks the song is about. And just so you know, Justin and Selena were not dating at this point, but they were still very much in their midst of their on and offness. So the feelings were not gone. They were probably amplified and not just mixed with love, but also anger, resentment, jealousy, a feeling for revenge. And to add it all up, late 2015 is the first time that Justin and Hailey Bieber were first seen kissing. And Justin first publicly posted about him kissing Hailey Bieber. So I'm sure that did not settle Miss Selena at all. She's probably at the peak of her reputation era, of her revenge seeking era, let's just say, back then. So what a lot of people don't know, Charlie Puth and Selena used to be a thing, and Charlie Puth admitted it, point blank period, told the whole world about it in an iHeartRadio Music interview. He said, quote, "I don't kiss and tell." I like that he said kiss and tell because that's a name of one of Selena's albums. He said, I don't kiss and tell, but the only way a song like We Don't Talk Anymore can come across as real is if there's something else going on behind the scenes. And that's what was happening with Selena Gomez. Very short-lived, very small, but very impactful. And it really messed me up. Now, there's more to that quote, but I'm going to read it in a minute. So, Charlie fell in love with Selena in the process of making We Don't Talk Anymore. And honestly, I love that song. I would probably fall in love with someone if I made that song with them, even if it's Charlie Puth. So, he fell in love with her during the making of that song. And it seemed like Selena Gomez was really into him as well. It seems like she was confiding into him as a friend and maybe as more about being mentally abused by her ex-boyfriend, Justin Bieber. Because now that he told us that his song Attention is what we think it's about, we can infer that everything he said in the Genius interview talking about the creation of that song is about Selena Gomez. Why would he tweet that? He's such a messy bitch that lives for the drama. He really opened the floodgates with that one. He actually tweeted it and then deleted it within like an hour period. But ooh, did it get picked up online. So in his Genius interview, when the song first came out, he was talking about how he was with a girl who was manipulating him to make him think that he could be the guy to save her from her ex and help heal her.
When I came up with the song originally, I was on this hotel bed in this really cool room in the Philippines. I'm thinking back about the time I was in that hotel room, and she was literally crying to me about how mistreated she is by her ex and had me thinking that I could be the guy who could fix her. Like, girls are crazy. Like, they're amazing and crazy.
The two of them were always seen drinking together, posting Snapchats together back in the day when all celebrities would use Snapchat stories and it was amazing. I miss those days so much. We never got more behind-the-scenes footage of their lives than we did on the Snapchat days. They were always drinking together on Snapchat, performing it together, seen at the Golden Globes. And something wild is that Charlie Puth was performing it at a concert without Selena one time. And while Selena's part was playing, he yelled into his mic, "Fuck you, Justin Bieber." Like, damn, as if he's her new man, like standing tall and tough up against her evil ex. Or even just like her friend standing up against some guy who traumatized her. They were clearly very close. Things were seeming promising between them. But that's just how Selena wanted to make Charlie feel like they were seeming. Because then Charlie started to see some super shady behavior in Selena. Given the fact that he told us the song is about what we think it is, we can assume that the Genius interview is about her. And in the interview, he said she would always lead him on, incessantly flirt with him, toy around with him, give him all of this hope, but never deliver on the deeds that she would lead him on for. For example, he said that she would ask him to go back to their hotel room together or her hotel room together. Charlie would think, oh, amazing, we're about to hook up. But then when they would get there, she wouldn't even kiss him goodbye, and then she would go into the room by herself. Which, okay, power move, girl, I respect it. But Charlie said that she would do that over and over again, like 5 times. So at that point, he realized, is she playing a game? Does she not actually want me? Charlie said he realized that she would keep him hooked by always building his huge hopes up and giving him massive expectations for a date or a kiss or that they would become official one day or something else, if you know what I'm saying. But nothing ever happened. She would always just leave him with blue balls. And in the song Attention, it really reflects that. It really reflects someone who has been led on by their love interest, but they know it's not going to go anywhere. That person just wants attention. He sings in the song, and now I'm all up on ya, what you'd expect, but you're not coming home with me tonight. You just want attention. You don't want my heart. She messed with his head to make him feel good. And then in return, to get the male attention that she wanted. That seems to be the picture that Charlie was painting. I'm not saying it's fact. And again, I'm more biased towards Selena than I am towards Charlie. I really don't like him. I don't like him, but meh. Charlie said this was her way of keeping him hooked. And something else really shady that we learned about Selena in that Genius interview is that she asked Charlie to keep her a secret. And apparently she would always talk about his ex when she was with him, as we know, because he screamed, "Fuck you, Justin Bieber." And this is a lesson for y'all. Take notes. If anyone keeps you as a secret or always talks about their ex when you're with them, they do not want you at all. Not even close. They are just toying with you. They are not taking you seriously. Get out of there. You are a placeholder. You are temporary. You are fulfilling their physical desires for to have someone close to them, but they do not want you emotionally at all. I actually feel so bad for Charlie in this situation because it really seems like Selena led him on a lot and really fucked with him, like almost to an extreme level. And I just feel bad for his heart in a way because he revealed in the Genius interview that the first time he kissed this girl, there was so much buildup and he was waiting for it for so long. And he got her, she got him so emotionally attached that when they kissed the first time, he actually shed a tear. Oh, oh, oh my God. Imagine being down that bad that the first time you kiss someone, you cry. Maybe Selena is a wizard in real life because she's working some sort of magic on him. That is wild. If someone did that to me, I'd be like, oh my God, no, you got to go. But before you get too emotionally invested and you turn into a stalker or Joel Goldberg or something, can't be having this. But she really did a good job at getting him hooked on her for sure. Now, let me go read the end of that Charlie quote because now it makes sense. So after he said that it was a very short-lived, very small, but very impactful relationship that really messed him up, he continued and said, "I'm trying to put this the best way possible. It wasn't like I was the only person on her mind. And I think I knew that going in, what I was about to get myself into." That's T. That's T, T, T. Because everybody knows Justin and Selena had unfinished business. And what's the point of hiding? Everybody knows we got unfinished business. And I regret it if I didn't say this isn't what it could be. Could be. Even Selena admitted it. So they had a lot of unfinished business. The whole world knows that they're together, that there's probably a lot of fiery feelings between them. So Charlie kind of knew what he was getting into, and it ended up getting him burned. More so to prove that this relationship actually went down, Charlie Puth was talking about how him and Selena were working on We Don't Talk Anymore over a call while Charlie was in the Philippines. And then in the Genius interview, he said he wrote Attention while he was in the Philippines on a really cool bed after he was done having a conversation with the girl that it was about. So it just seemed like he really accidentally gave us some really solid proof there. And we know Charlie is a messy, messy bitch. Again, think of the pettiest person you know. It's a man, isn't it? I feel like everyone we talk about in this podcast that's messy is a man. So Charlie Puth is one of the pettiest men, apparently, we now know. Him and Shawn Mendes probably fight over who's going to bottom. And he was talking about, in the Genius interview, how basically he exposed that this girl that it's about is also in the music industry. And he was saying that it's a really small music industry. And whenever you would go to parties, you would hear that the other person was talking about you and saying this and this and this about you, but he would never hear this girl say it to his face. But he thinks that she was just talking shit about him at these parties to get him riled up. And who is a girl in the music industry that was about the same age, that was going to parties and was seen drinking with him and blah, blah, blah. So clearly she's in the social scene, Selena Gomez. And that reflects the line in Attention. You've been running around, running around, running around, throwing that dirt all on my name. Because you knew that I knew that I knew that I'd call you up. You've been going around, going around, going around every party in L.A. Because you knew that I knew that I knew that I'd be at one. My singing is so bad. Oh, my God. Every time I hear myself back sing, I'm just like, I should try out for American Idol. I would be one of the bad contestants at the beginning that Simon, like, shoots himself after listening to him. But Charlie didn't stop there. Obviously, since this was a very impactful relationship for him, he's going to write more than one song about Selena. He really Taylor Swift it in this case, where he like told us the, he like gave us all these lyrics that were kind of ominous, but a little too direct that we know exactly who it's about. So he has another song called I Warned Myself. And these are the lyrics to I Warned Myself. You mess with my heart, now you're the reason why. Do you remember when you told me I don't have to worry? Quote, he's overseas, out on his tour. He'll be okay without me. You said you had nothing to hide, that you left him long ago. I should have known that was a lie. Who else would he be talking about is on his tour overseas? No normal bitch is on their tour overseas besides Justin Bieber. And clearly talking about what Selena Gomez told him that he should have known was a lie. Wow, he really is spilling all the Jelena tea. Who know? Who knew Charlie Puth would be the one to spill the Jelena tea? In that same song, he sings about how she told him to keep her a secret. That's so messed up. If someone told me to keep them a secret, I'd be like, oh, we're over now, and I'm telling everyone about us. That wouldn't last for a second. It would be all over TikTok in 24 hours if someone told me to keep them a secret. And the gag of all the gags is that Selena Gomez ended up with Justin Bieber again in April 2016. So just a few months after this whole debacle was going down. Just like Charlie was saying, it was very short-lived, but very impactful. And I bet you Selena was very hurt in December 2015 and early 2016 when she was thinking that Justin was with Haley. And clearly, she told Charlie that she was being emotionally abused by Justin. So I bet what she wanted to do with Charlie was get some male attention, make herself feel good. And maybe even she wanted to almost hurt Charlie to make herself feel good. Because there's almost a little bit of a satisfaction in hurting someone who you're talking to or in a or used to be in a relationship with. Because if they hurt when you don't give them the love and care that they deserve and are a bad partner, if they hurt, it kind of shows that they cared. They wouldn't be hurt if they didn't care. So maybe she wanted to hurt Justin or hurt Charlie in the same way that Justin hurt her. And that would make her feel a little bit better. I wonder if she wanted to do that. She even said something really ominous like that in her Genius interview that she did. Speaking of Genius, giving Genius all this free promo.
There's this thing, right? Actually, I think men and women do it, especially teenagers and young people in love, is there's the satisfaction out of hurting someone because you know that they care. Purposefully putting someone down because you want to keep them, you know, at a level. I've had someone actually say that to me before. It's like to keep that person down so they never realize, like, oh, I'm strong enough to actually get out of the situation or feel threatened. And I think that we both do that. There's like, you know, especially when you're young, it's like, it's that whole thing where it's like, oh, I'm glad that, you know, you're crying over me and that clearly you still love me and all this stuff. I just think it's a bit manipulative.
And another one of the biggest gag of all the gags is guess when the music video for We Don't Talk Anymore came out? August 2016, well after this whole love affair maimed Charlie Puth. And one of his fans tweeted at him, why there isn't Selena Gomez in the music video for We Don't Talk Anymore? At Charlie Puth. I was so excited for you guys to collab in the video. And Charlie responded to that fan and said, because we don't talk anymore. Whoa. That's so eerie that they like wrote a song that would almost be a premonition of their relationship and how it would end. It was really foreshadowing it. Ooh, that's so eerie. The fact that the two people who sing We Don't Talk Anymore now don't talk anymore. Oh my God! I'm going to go listen to that song. That's crazy. It almost makes the song sadder because you hear these two people who seem to be like telling the story of what they're about to experience. And it's almost like the ghost of them are singing the song together because nowadays they don't talk. Ooh, that's really eerie. I hate when like people turn into a ghost in your life. because you just don't talk to them anymore. That shit fucks you up because they're not dead, but it's like, it's basically like they are. And now you're just left with the ghost of them. If I can't be close to you, I'll settle for the ghost of you. Anyway, what can we learn from this? I think we can learn that hurting someone in the same way that you got hurt doesn't make you any less of a hurt victim yourself. It doesn't repair what someone else did to you. It doesn't fix your wounds. It will do literally nothing good for you, and it'll actually only hurt, add more hurt to your heart. If you get your heart broken and then you think the way you're going to make it better is going to break other people's hearts, that's not going to help. It just keeps the cycle of hurt and pain going. And I've definitely thought of this before. Like, I think the first time I got my heart broken a little, I was like, maybe I should go break someone's heart. I literally thought that. And I would find myself almost talking to people like the last guy I talked to talked to me, to maybe like make myself feel better, or maybe try to put myself in his shoes, like in the heartbreaker shoes, to see what it was like and what it felt like, and just gain that perspective of almost why would they do that to me? Like, let me go play the role that they were playing. And it didn't help. Like, I still felt the same. I actually felt sadder being in the heartbreaker shoes, because I was like, oh God, like, I'm doing this to this person. And it really reflects how he was feeling while he was talking to me. And he really just felt like emotionless and like he didn't care about me, because that's what I'm doing to this person. So that makes me feel even less better and less okay. So it's not going to help you at all. So don't take out what other people did to you onto then other people you meet after them. Ever. You just want attention. You don't want my heart. Maybe you just hit the thought of me with someone new. Yeah, you just want attention. I knew from the start. You're just making sure I'll never get it over. Oh, you guys, even though we're talking about a bunch of toxic relationships, I am in the mood to, like, have a crush. Like, I want someone to, like, ignite a spark inside me and get me, like, really excited for them and leave me hanging for when they're going to respond and leave me pining for their Snapchat username to pop up on my phone. I want that sort of sledgehammer heartbeat in my chest when I talk to someone, and I haven't had that in so long. So I want like a crush. I'm talking to other guys, but I don't know, they just do not get the job done. I need someone who's like my type, who will instantly drive me mad upon first sight and like give me a will to live, because right now there's some cuties, but I need the one, you know what I'm saying? I need someone to ruin my life, to fuck up my nights. I just want a crush, so I guess I could look harder, but yeah, someone who definitely has a crush right now is Harry Styles. Oh my God. He was seen in Tokyo, because he's a Harajuku girl. He was seen in Tokyo kissing none other than Emily Ratajkowski, the CEO of Girls Are His Players Too. The CEO of About to catch another flight. Apple bottom, make him want to bite. I just want to have a good night. Emily Ratajkowski is a player. They were seen making out in broad daylight in Tokyo, the randomest of all places. And you know they were there together. Like, this wasn't just a, oh, we both happened to be here in Tokyo, let's kiss. Like, they were doing some vacation lover rendezvous, White Lotus type of shit, where they fall in love in a foreign country. This was some planned getaway affair. And that's just crazy to me that Emily Ratajkowski and Harry Styles are now an item. Like, there's no denying it. There's videos of them all over the internet just eating each other's faces off online. And if you don't remember, Harry Styles was just with Olivia Wilde, but I think this is an upgrade from Olivia Wilde in my eyes. I think they're closer together in age. I think it works more. Harry is 29. Olivia is 31. And, I mean, Emily Ratajkowski is so gorgeous and beautiful. Kendall Jenner copied her face. She told her plastic surgeon I would like this and showed her him a reference photo of Emily Ratajkowski because she's that pretty. And Emily Ratajkowski was just with Eric Andre. They were literally naked together on Instagram on Valentine's Day. That picture was confusing to look at because no one wanted to see Eric Andre naked, but everyone wanted to see Emily Ratajkowski naked. And before that, Emily Ratajkowski was with the other player who loves the game, Pete Davidson. Because you know I love the players and you love the game. Emily Ratajkowski is really out Pete Davidsoning Pete Davidson. And I respect it. She doesn't have time to waste. She does not have time to waste. She said, I'm going to find my one and I'm going to play the field and live my life as a young woman. And she's an icon. She's a role model. She says, when you're a boss, you can get what you want. Women get in money all around the world because girls is players too. Because girls is players too. People online actually seem quite receptive to this. They seem to not be against their relationship. Pretty unexpected across the board, but nonetheless, they think Harry is better off with anyone but Olivia. I don't think his fans liked her at all. So they're just relieved they're not with the woman who directed Don't Worry, Darling. But the only person who actually seems to be upset with this is Olivia Wilde, believe it or not. And this is actually so crazy because Olivia Wilde and Emily Ratajkowski were friends last year. Like, good-ass friends. Like, they worked together. They would talk at conferences together about how women were treated in the media when the whole Don't Worry, Darling debacle was going down. And Emily Ratajkowski would have her back. And apparently they were just friends who would go out together. And the biggest gag is that they were seen at Harry Styles' concert together. Like, they went together to Harry Styles' concert late last year. And they were fully dancing together, having the best time. Olivia was still with Harry at this point. So imagine the gag that Olivia would feel now that her friend Emily, who she literally brought to her man's concert, has now stolen her man from him. Not stolen her man, but they have now gotten with each other. Definitely some betrayal there. And reports from Page Six are saying that Emily Ratajkowski feels so awful for what she did to Olivia by getting with Harry publicly. And now she's begging Olivia Wilde for forgiveness. T. And Olivia Wilde's friend posted on her Instagram story because she was just blatantly messy. The friend said, you can't spell Ratajkowski without the word rat. Girl, how old are you? And you're posting that? T, T, T. Risky, risky, risky. But I guess I respect it. You gotta risk it for the biscuit. And Harry Styles' biscuit is definitely something I would risk it for. You know what I'm saying? All right, well, thank you guys for joining me on Pop Culture University today. As the cool down for class right now, I'm gonna hand out the first ever superlatives signifying the end of the class. Now that we have all the drama spilled amongst us, we can properly hand out who deserves what superlative. So the first award for secret villain superlative, I'm sorry, it's going to Selena Gomez. Woo! Secret villain! She got a superlative award. Good for her. And she deserves it. You can't deny that she deserves it. She was fucking with Charlie Puth, asking him to keep her a secret. Really used him for attention. And I think did more instigating than she was given credit for in the Haley social media drama situation. So she is the secret villain of the week because the Selenators will never say she even did 1% of anything wrong. She's the perfect little Selena Gomez. She would never do anything wrong. Not her, Miss America. No. So she's secret villain. Next superlative, unproblematic pageant queen superlative. That is going to go to Taylor Swift. We did mention her today, giving amazing advice. She's on top of the world, literally even more than she was in the past, because she's overcome so much in her career. And we've had a long term relationship with her at this point, and we still think she's perfect, and we still love her, and she's inspiring, and she's inspiring us today, just like she did tonight. So she's the unproblematic pageant queen, superlative recipient. Good for Taylor Swift. Woo! Unproblematic pageant queen. Woo! The next superlative I'm going to hand out is, who is the messy bitch that lives for the drama? Superlative. And that is definitely going to Charlie Puth. We know he's a messy bitch. Every time that man types in his passcode and opens his damn phone, any social media app, it is with the intent of being messy. He wakes up and chooses violence. And that's what he did today, too. He himself just wants attention as well. But in this case, we're very happy for that, Charlie. So this is a good superlative. So congratulations, Charlie. You are the messy bitch that lives for the drama. And so do we. The last superlative, most likely to be canceled next superlative, that is going to me. Because the Salinators hate me. No, I'm just kidding. But I truly hope you guys can see, like, most of the time, I'm on the side of the good person, of who the whole internet wants me to be on the side of. But in this case with Selena, I just cannot be. And I hope, like, the merits of all my other opinions and points of view that I have, the fact that I'm normally rooting for the good guy and rooting for who everyone wants me to root for, shows you that I really wouldn't be coming for Selena like this if I truly didn't think she deserves it. And I hope you guys know that. But I still do love her, and we'll continue talking about her in a good, fun, good, bad, and ugly light. Okay, but I'm going to give the most likely to be canceled next superlative to Emily Ratajkowski, because she is really playing with fire. The Harry Styles fans are not one to be fucked with. And once you get into that universe, just one small slip up and it will be over for you. And she seems to have already crossed the line of Olivia Wilde, and she is not one to back down from a media storm. If something happens, she will definitely speak her mind and will maybe take someone down with her. And if Emily is already begging for forgiveness from her, it seems like Emily knows she's in quite a vulnerable situation. So I hope this doesn't get out of hand for Emily while she's just trying to enjoy Harry Styles, because I can only imagine how that would be to lose him right when you get him. All right. Well, thank you for joining me. That will be all now that the superlatives have been handed out. I love y'all. Have an amazing week. Stay safe out there. Hopefully it gets warmer wherever you are and you can get some dopamine from the sun and stay in a positive mood. But until then, I will always be your bestie here on this podcast and your pop culture professor. And I cannot wait until Friday. So before you go, rate this podcast 5-star, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You're already here. You may as well do so. Subscribe to it. Follow it. I don't even know how that works, but subscribe to it or follow it. Screenshot yourself listening to it. Post it to your Instagram story and tag me and I'll hit you up. I'll repost you. We can be besties in the DMs. It goes down in the DMs. Check out my Snapchat show, Unfiltered Pop. It's incredible. You will love it. Go subscribe to it. It helps me out a lot. Follow my Instagram, Petty Pop Culture, for updates on the podcast at all times. My YouTube, TikTok, both of the same at. Do I need to shamelessly plug anything else? No, I guess not. All right. Goodbye, everyone. Class dismissed.
Prime Day is coming July 11th and 12th with 2 days of epic deals exclusively for Prime members. You'll feel like a winner.
Behind door number three is amazing deals.
Deals from electronics to decor. It's on Prime Day.
Disfruta el ritmo y espectáculo de Las Vegas en el Top 10 de Canela Music, con una selección top de artistas latinos que se presentan este verano en la capital mundial del entretenimiento. Gratis en Canela Music. Descarga la app. Presentado por Las Vegas.
What is up, Astros fans? This is Jeff Balke and my partner, former Astro Jeff Blum, from the Believe in Astros podcast to tell you baseball is back, and we've got your world champion Houston Astros covered.
Every week we go inside the clubhouse, break down the games, discuss the players, and give you everything you need to know about the Houston Astros baseball organization, with special guests and a few surprises all summer and into the postseason.
So tune in to the Believe in Astros podcast, that's BLEAV, on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and everywhere you get your podcasts. Go Astros.